everyone. Welcome to the Jefferson County Public Hospital District Number 2 and Jefferson County Board of Health Joint Meeting at the Cotton Building on Tuesday, March 20th, 2018. This is being recorded and the times on the agenda are for estimates only. So this time, let's go around and introduce ourselves. We'll start with the board, we'll start with Bruce, and we'll go around that way, and then we'll go there. And then the public, if you're comfortable doing so, could introduce themselves.
Okay, I'm Bruce McComas.
Case Kolf.
Matt Reddy.
Mari Dressel.
Alyssa Rodriguez.
Jill Bueller.
John Austin.
David Sullivan.
Kathleen Clare.
Kate Dean.
Sheila Westerman.
Thank you, Kirk Patrick.
John Noah.
I'm Matt.
I'm Philip Morley with Jefferson County.
That was a test.
Jen Horton.
Amy Daly.
Dina Fow.
Mike Lynn.
Lori Lane.
Jean Paul.
Richard Dandridge.
Brian Berwick.
Debbie Yonke.
Jim Todd.
Great, thank you, everyone. So the purpose of this meeting is to review the Community Health Improvement Program, that is CHIP, what we affectionately call CHIP, and get an update on the progress. It's been a few years since we started it, and we're making headway. So right now, I will introduce, first of all, Mike Lynn, who introduced himself, but he's our CEO of Jefferson Healthcare, so I want to acknowledge him. And we will now go with Vicki Kirkpatrick, the director of Jefferson County, will introduce the program.
Thank you. I'm the director, as Jill was saying, director of Jefferson County Public Health, which is the health department for both the county of Jefferson and the city of Townsend. I wanted to just kind of bring us to where we are today, because I think many of us were meeting just about a year ago as we were putting together the plan for the implementation of the Community Health Improvement Plan. And as some of you know, it took us almost a year, not quite a year, almost a year, to recruit and hire an executive director. So that executive director has decided to resign, but this was not a fit for her. So what we are doing now is we sort of step back, and by meeting in Jefferson, the folks at Jefferson Healthcare, as well as the folks at the health department, and we talked about, okay, we don't want to lose the momentum. Meetings have been set up, activities were happening, and so we went ahead with the meetings to include this first of four quarterly meetings of 2018. And things kind of went on hiatus as we were doing the recruitment, having no sense that it would take us nearly as long as it did. So things were just getting back up and running again. And so as we talked about how do we bring leadership in terms of the work that's done in the absence of an executive director and not necessarily wanting to repeat yet another year of trying to recruit, we decided that it would be a good idea or a positive step forward to share that leadership function or that executive director's responsibilities between the health department and the hospital. And the hospital has named John Nowak as the person that will lead that effort, that leadership effort, at a half-time FTE. And the health department will provide the other half-time FTE, but I'm not in a place yet where I can actually announce who that will be. But we will be bringing those strong skills as well. And actually, the more we talked about it, the more excited and comfortable we became with that. You know, John has many, many years embedded in this community. He's familiar with the community and certainly can energize and engage community folks in the CHIP process and the four priority work groups. And we're looking at a complementary set of skills to work with John in that process that we'll bring from the health department as well. think that we have some real opportunity, and in the long run, this may in fact be, turn out to be the best way forward for this process. And I see that as a very positive. In terms of progress on the four CHIP priorities, probably not as much as we would have liked because of how long it took for us to get the executive director. However, I will say that the immunization work group has been meeting all along. They never did stop meeting. So there was certainly progress there. And John and I had the opportunity to co-lead the chronic disease committee, and they had lots of ideas, a lot of enthusiasm, and also indicated that there are things that have been done all along the way. So we are in the process of capturing what that is. So at the next quarterly meeting of the joint board, I think we will be focusing primarily on what is the progress that we're making and how we are moving this effort forward. It still is an amazing effort, still remains an amazing effort and a very inclusive community-wide effort, and I think that is its strength. And I'm very excited. I was saying to John earlier, I kind of got that excitement feeling again from back in the day when we were meeting on a regular basis in all four of the work groups. So I'm excited about moving forward. And I would just ask if there are any questions before I turn it over to John, who is going to provide the bulk of the presentation.
Vicki, I'm curious, do you have a proposed kind of time frame for the interim position and for positions, and then how we would go about creating a permanent position, either with existing staff or other staff? Is that known yet?
I don't know that we've finalized that. I think that there was a strong level of comfort that this may in fact be an excellent permanent position process going forward. And so I would see that decision being made very quickly.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, you mentioned that there has been progress implementing some of the community health improvement plan goals and strategies and activities already. And I think it's worth mentioning a few more that not just in the immunization or the chronic disease, but also in the access to care. I mean, I think Jefferson Healthcare, through getting the money from the state for the dental clinic, I mean, that was a huge part of the, and a very important part of the CHIP program. So I think we need to recognize that this community in a variety of ways is continuing to implement the plan, and whether it's changing the basis for providing free care at Jefferson Healthcare through the Patient Experience Task Force and those recommendations to the dental clinic too, and I'm sure there are other ways as well that many groups in the many entities in the community are continuing to implement those ideas.
Thank you for that. And I think we will probably be surprised at the level of accomplishment that has occurred over the course of the past year that just kept happening, that was an important part of the CHIP. I spoke to those I was most familiar with, but that you're absolutely right in terms of oral health care is very critical for our Medicaid and low-income population, absolutely. And I know there have also been some strides made and a lot of work going into addressing the opioid epidemic and the mental health and substance abuse yes. issues that exist in Jefferson County. I know there's been a lot of work that has gone into that. So I'm actually looking forward to that sort of catching up on what has been accomplished and gathering that information and being able to provide that information back out about what is happening. Because I think there is a lot more.
Great.
going on.
All right, I just want to make sure I understand the plan. So John is going to add a half FTE as CHIP Executive Director, and then you said something about then the Health Department is going to figure out something about
the Health Department will also contribute a half FTE.
Like an additional person, or?
Yes.
Or that working a half FTE, and that is, we're not really sure who that is going to be or what that's going to look like.
It's because the person has not formally accepted the position yet, I'm not ready to make an announcement. So, but it's hopefully in the works.
Great.
Any other questions? If not, John Nowak, who has been with the Community Health Assessment and Community Health Improvement Plan process since day one. So probably with of all the folks sitting here, he may have the most embedded experience with the process. So it's only fitting that he take us through this, where we are today and how we got here.
So as Vicky kind of alluded to, this is my sixth day on this job. I have been involved with the Community Health Improvement Plan since the beginning, helped kind of the prioritization process early on, review the community health assessment information, helped set up the four priority groups, and did a lot of work with the initial CHIP plan. So what I've been doing the last 6 days is really trying to sort through what's been done and what's been accomplished. What I'm giving you today is kind of a snapshot of my best information that I have right now about where we are. I did want to take a minute to, I know most of you know, but not everybody, but just to share a little bit of my background in Jefferson County in terms of health. So I've been a resident of Jefferson County most of my life, and I've been involved in the healthcare of Jefferson County really for the last 40 years. In the 70s and 80s, I was really involved in pre-hospital care, ambulance, and EMS. I was instrumental in us having paramedics in our community as the president of the EMS group. Ms. Ressler and I worked together in the Family Birth Center over a number of years, and for me, a big part of that job was being an advocate for women's health care and being an advocate for women's beliefs about birth experience and health care issues. I've been a past president of the Jefferson County Hospice Society, which has since been absorbed by Jefferson Healthcare, but at one point it was a volunteer agency. In more recent years, I've been on the Rotary Run board and been a soccer coach at high school, so been involved in kind of community exercise. And most recently, I've been a past president of Jumping Mouse Children's Center, which works on mental health issues for children. So I feel like I have a pretty good commitment to healthcare in our community, and I think that helps me. So this is the agenda for today, and we're actually on step number three, which is review current state and action plan, and that's what we're going to kind of talk about now. This is, some of you have seen this slide before, but this is basically the history of the plan. So 2014, community health assessment, and a group of kind of stakeholders in the community looked at those, the community health assessment, and established some priorities for the CHIP plan. There were fact sheets drafted on those priorities, and then groups of stakeholders got together, finalized those priorities, and then we put together four groups that looked at how we make improvement on the four areas, which you'll see in the next slide. At the conclusion of the frameworks that those four groups put together, a group of five authors drafted the community health plan, which I think you saw for the first time last year, and then, as Vicki alluded to, we really have been in a search for an executive director, she was in place, I think, November of this year, so she didn't have too much time to to really get things going, and then she decided to make a change, as I mentioned, 6 days ago. So that's where we are today. These are those four health priorities that we came up with. So it's chronic disease prevention and management, mental health and chemical dependency, immunizations, and access to care. And the prioritization group reviewed a number of data about the health in our community and decided on these priorities. I also thought I would use this as an eye test to see read the print on the screen. So just a little health checkup while we're here. So what I'm going to do today is review the status of kind of four areas in terms of progress of the CHIP plan. So what are we doing in terms of grants and funding, community outreach and communication, metrics and evaluation, and partnership development? So those are the four areas we're going to go over today. So in terms of grants and funding, two grants have already been submitted, and that's work that my predecessor did. There's also been kind of a work group that's been reviewing the work of the executive director, and they approved two other grants for submission that have not yet been submitted, so that would be a priority for us moving forward. There are five other grants that we're looking at submitting, and these grants are the two that we have applied for, our HRSA grant for community outreach, and the DSHS grant for community mental health and suicide prevention. The other grants include additional HRSA grants and DSHS grants, as well as Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grants and Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration grant. So one of my priorities kind of coming into this will be to get a line of sight in terms of where we are on those grants, make sure that we don't miss any deadlines, those moving along. You know, I think you guys made a good faith effort to fund this for a period of time, but I think the plan has always been that, you know, when there was an executive director in place, they would go out and seek grant funding to be able to continue this work so that the, you know, the hospital and the health department and the city don't have to continue to fund this program. So that's a high priority for us. I think that work is going on, and you know, I would share with you, probably I've done some grant preparation, probably not an area of strength for me, but I feel like I have good support to be able to do that, both on the health department side, and there are people at the hospital that have experience that are willing to help me with that. Any questions? I think I'll take questions on each section as I do that, John.
Yes. This may be a difficult question to answer, but do you have a rough idea on the probability of success on these various grants that we're going to be submitting?
Yeah, it's hard for me, like I said, 6 days in to comment on that. I think, you know, my perspective is that what we're doing is a little bit more cutting edge and innovative than what a lot of counties are doing. I reviewed a lot of community health improvement plans when I was doing the work for this plan, and what I found is that there are a lot of plans out there, there's not a lot of implementation going on. And so I think the work that we're doing in terms of implementation, I'm optimistic that we have opportunities to do that, but you know, unless I got a dartboard out and threw it, I wouldn't feel really comfortable giving you a percentage or an accurate estimate of what that's likely to be. But I'm optimistic that we can do that.
Well, I noticed that in some of the other areas where we see grant funding, that we get more points, so to speak, when you have a number of governments working together, like tribes and counties, maybe with the hospital and you know, public health, and city and county, that might be helpful.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I love about doing this work in this county is that, you know, it really is that adage, it takes a village. And I think, you know, there's an incredible amount of collaboration going on behind the scenes, even to the level of developing a plan. And I think a lot of those people are in it for the long haul. And so I do think there is a lot of crossover. I think the other piece, and I'll talk about it a little later, but the Olympic Communities of Health, which is looking at Medicaid funding for our three There's a lot of overlap in the work that they're doing and we're doing, and I think there's some opportunities to collaborate with them. And as I mentioned, I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I think that's one of those agencies that we will be working really closely with. And I think what we're doing is pretty exciting. I do think that helps us to have an opportunity to be able to get that funding. And also, I think in terms of funding the executive director position, it's not a huge amount of dollars when you look at how funding sources work. So it would be nice to get more money to be able to do more things within that plan and have more revenue to be able to do that. But I think in terms of covering the executive director salaries, I think there's a pretty easy opportunity to get my children.
Hi. HRSA, could you say what that stands for?
Health, anybody help me out?
Health Resource Systems.
Thank you.
And is that statewide or is that federal? What kind of money is that?
That's federal.
Okay, so my question is, what other funding sources are there besides grants?
So one of the things that I plan to do, this isn't work that's been done, so this is kind of looking out, is I would like to talk to some of the groups in our community that go out and get funding. So talk with them a little bit about what they're doing in terms of funding and see what opportunities are out there to be able to do that. I think granting is probably our best opportunity, but I do think there's some other, what other nonprofits are doing might be helpful to us to look to see where they're able to get funding.
It seems to me that if some of our grant monies can build capacity to provide additional services, there is also potential for reimbursement or to generate revenue from those services. For example, the dental program that Jefferson Healthcare will be having operational hopefully this time next year. Is that right, Jen? There is reimbursement for services, for dental care services. So again, there may be that additional source of revenue as well.
I was sort of focused on the funding the executive director and other administration positions, so that those are hard. Those are typically hard grants to get.
Yeah.
And they're very competitive typically. And so, my experience is the sooner you get it in, the better you are.
Yeah.
And John's right. The more people that sign on to it, the better you are.
And I would just add quickly that I think that the timing is sort of everything, but that there's increasing interest on the part of the federal government, which I think will ultimately trickle down around the issue of health equity in rural communities. It seems like for a long time there was a lot of focus on urban communities for a lot of innovative programs, but I'm seeing much more coming out, particularly in the area of health equity in rural communities, which is oftentimes much harder to achieve. And I think all of our priority areas and the activities associated with them, if implemented, will improve and certainly impact health equity in our rural area. And so I feel like if we're careful and in looking at these grants and have multiple partners, that we are in a place of really being able to demonstrate in rural communities how to improve people's health when it's not always hasn't always been looked at, but there's increasing interest in the broad concept of health equity.
Thank you.
All right, so community outreach and communication, just some information about what activities have taken place. So we've been doing some community outreach, attended about six community meetings, like the Community Foundation, the Olympic Community of Health, a meeting at the Brennan Community Center, the Chimicum Health Prevention Coalition, and meeting with local EMS. So some activities have been going on. The Leader has published two articles about CHIP and Food One that I think came out this week. There's a Facebook page that's been developed, so you can go check that out. So the teams of the four groups have started to meet again, which is the, you know, for us is the primary activity that we wanted to make sure didn't get the brakes put on. So that's why we felt like it was important to continue that work and not have a pause while we went out to look for another executive director. And so three of those four groups have met in the last month, and I would agree with what Vicki said. It's really rewarding to see those groups start to meet again and get some energy going again. I think the priorities for those groups will really be, you know, which of the activities that are in the plan have actually been accomplished, kind of identifying those, and then some level of prioritization in terms of these are the things that are left, and then which ones do we want to start focusing energy on? Because with 105 activities in the plan, it's probably important to focus, especially since we may be doing another community health assessment soon and kind of restructuring the plan. I think it's really important for us to pick the priorities of what we want to hit the hardest. And I would put those into two categories. I would put those into kind of low-hanging fruit, things that we can do quickly. I know in terms of health advocacy, there's a number of things that are like write letters and, you know, to the legislature and meet with the county commissioners or the hospital commissioners about different things. And I think those kind of things could be easily accomplished, and we should try to knock those out. And then we need to look at the plan in terms of those things that are going to have some real impact in terms of moving the dial for health in our community. So those would be my ways to kind of structure those priorities. And I think it's important that we start to see activity soon. I think we have been trying to figure this out for a long time, and now it's time to really have some action, and that's really my goal. The most of the teams that have been discussing who needs to be added to the group, and I think I think all the groups have identified that there are people who should be in the room and having that discussion that aren't. So that's something that each of the group leaders and I'm working on to make sure we have the right people in the group. And then three of the four groups have leads. The one that doesn't is mental health and chemical dependency, and doing UFO has been kind of pinch hitting in that role, and we want to look for somebody that's going to be a permanent lead for that group. Questions on the community outreach?
I appreciate the coverage that the leader has provided for this. I think from many people that I have heard from, it's still unclear to them the difference between a community health improvement plan implementation and another round of a health assessment, the way it happened in, back in 2014. And I would love to see that further clarified for the community somehow. Yeah. And I hope the leader is the leader here today. I just hope that we can get something out there to explain to people, no, we're not, that's not, another community health assessment is not what we're looking at right now. We already have 105 activities, and we'd like to work on some of those as a first step. So,
I mean, one of the things that was in our original communication plan that hasn't taken place, which I think would be something for us to think about, is the idea of holding a series of community meetings to talk more about kind of the next steps in the plan. And I think that may help for what you're talking about, especially if we get the leader kind of to make sure those are well publicized. Questions? So the next section is metrics and evaluation. So one of the main things, to me, an output that you guys really need when you come to these meetings is you need to know those 105 activities, how many are completed, how many are in progress, what's the level of progress on each of those. And so my promise to you, I guess you should never say that, but my promise to you is that the next time we meet, we'll have a grid that says, you know, of the 105 activities, we've completed 14, we have 26 that are in progress, and this is the level of completion for those. So I think we owe you that, and I wish I had that today. Couldn't quite get it together to do that in 6 days. So next time we'll do better about that. I also think, you know, there are a number of measures out there that are, you know, Surrey did an amazing job of pulling data from a number of different sources, but a lot of that data is publicly available. The BRFIS data is publicly available. There's a number of measures that the state tracks by county, you know, cancer rates and things like that. So I think there's an opportunity when we get a little more sophisticated to look at some interim measures that can give us some indication about how we're doing between the times that we do community health assessments. So one of my goals for you guys will be to, if there are any interim measures that are completed, to be able to present those to you and say, hey, on immunizations, we went from 28% to 44% or whatever that measure is. So stay tuned. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more information about that. And then, you know, Case, as you mentioned, I think one of the next steps for us is to look at the next community health assessment. And a really great opportunity is that the Olympic Communities of Health, the OCH, will be doing a 3-county community health assessment sometime in the near future. And since those assessments can be kind of expensive, if we can coordinate with the Olympic Communities of Health, it makes a lot of sense, not just from a financial point of view, but also from the point of view that we will be able to compare our health data with Clallam County and with Kitsap County and see kind of where we are on that continuum. So I think that's a great opportunity, and unless they say, no, we're not going to do that till 2022, I mean, I'm anticipating that that's probably what we'll do. And I think what I'm hearing preliminarily is that they'll be doing that sometime in the next couple of years. So I think the timing will actually be pretty reasonable for us. Questions or comments about that? Yeah, John?
Yeah, Case, I'm not sure if this is what you meant, but I know that I certainly don't want to see another organization that simply looks at things and discusses it and puts out memos. I think that, you know, speaking at least for inclusive vaccinations, that group has actually seen some progress and has involved some schools. And, you know, we're seeing some movement. Mm-hmm. And I don't know enough about the chronic disease, but I think it's exciting to see that we have bicycle enthusiasts who are here, who I hope will become involved in chronic disease prevention, encouraging people to be more active.
Well, along those lines, I know that public health has launched this 5210 effort.
Yeah.
Again, that feeds right into the whole chronic disease prevention thing. So there are things happening.
The fact that we have equipped our, you know, first responders with Narcan has been part of the avoidable drug-related fatalities. So it is interesting to know that there are things happening that I won't say are independent from this, but certainly supporting the priorities that we set because of the efforts going on. So it is an affirmation that we did look at some of the points on the scale that ought to be moved and can be.
And I think we should take a minute just to recognize that by stating what our intentions were and what our priorities were, that we have impacted a lot of these things that are going on. I think the county has some sense of direction, city and county have some sense of direction of what the priorities are in their community. I am impressed with my department's commitment to implementing the activities that are within Jefferson Healthcare's scope that he can make changes on. So I think, you know, this plan already has made a pretty big impact, and if we can, you know, get off the ground in terms of achieving some of the other activities that are in the plan, I think, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement, and I'm really excited about what can happen. Yeah.
And I would just add that I think it's also an affirmation of we have critical mass of community folks involved in the process. That it's reflective of, it is the community's health improvement plan. And I think that's affirmed by all of the activities that are going on that fit within those four priority areas. And so that involvement continues to be really, really important. Thank you.
Any other questions on the metrics and evaluation section? So more information next time, and I'll be excited to have that information.
I guess I would just point out that OBCAP also does a community assessment of needs and was off cycle with this one, but they've indicated that they will join this cycle collaborate with that next time, so they have adjust their time for it.
We actually reviewed that OBCAP assessment, and at least one of the group that I was involved with used that OBCAP assessment for some of the work that we did. So I think that is really useful information. And that's a great segue into the next one, which is partnership development. So as I mentioned, OCH, I think, is a really logical partner for us to share information with, kind of collaborate with. But ultimately, this is really a huge part of our work. I think getting, you know, there's a lot of people doing amazing work out there, and to try to get people to work together and collaborate and kind of leverage the work that they're doing just feels to me like probably one of the best opportunities that we have. And I think, you know, again, having the plan out there that people can look at, they, you know, they're going to look at it and say, oh, I, you know, we're already doing some work about that. So one of the things that we would like to do, a number of the groups have already started doing maps of community resources where they're looking at, you know, in terms of chronic disease, there's the Olympic Trails Commission and, you know, the 5210 plan. And, you know, there's a number of efforts going on. It's how do we kind of string those all together and form relationships. So I think as we do this resource map, we'll get a much better idea about who's doing what in terms of the health of the community. And then I think we start talking about how to link those agencies together and improve the collaboration wherever there's opportunity and prevent duplication of services, because that's an expensive way to do things if two people are working on the same plan. So questions, comments on that section? All right, so kind of what are the next steps for us? And I think we've talked about some of these, but I'll just go over them real quickly. So, you know, a lot of that work is done by the priority work groups, the four groups that are working on those different measures that we talked about at the start. So one of the things they need to do is, you know, for each of those strategies and activities that are in the plan, for a lot of those, we've identified a need. And so on dental care, Jefferson Healthcare, on, some of the mental health things, Discovery Behavioral Health, some of the public health things, and chronic disease things, it's the health department. But there's probably 20 or 30 activities that don't have a lead identified. And so one of the first things those groups need to do is identify the leads. And when we put the leads that are in the plan in place, it was Discovery Behavioral Health, Jefferson Healthcare, and the health department. And we felt uncomfortable saying that the schools are going to do this without having somebody from the school to do it. So it's sort of like getting elected when you leave the room or something like that. So we didn't want to do that.
Well, we do that all the time with the health board.
Tricky.
It works really well.
Don't keep that.
So one of the first activities is to identify the leads for the activities that don't have leads. We have to look for a lead for the mental health and chemical dependency group. I think it's really important, we've talked about it several times, to identify the accomplishments that have already taken place. And I think we're going to be surprised how many of those things have actually happened. And then, as I mentioned, kind of setting priorities for what's left, you know, in the probably year and a half to 2 years before we have another community health assessment, it would be nice to accomplish 40, 50 of those things. And picking the right 40 or 50 is going to be kind of an important thing for us to do. So, So reviewing the grants and update the submissions as necessary, researching other grants and other funding sources. I talked a little bit about developing the map of community resources and then contacting them about the CHIP plan, make sure they're aware of it and looking for opportunities for collaboration. So, in case this gets a little bit of what you were talking about, I think it's important for us to develop some talking points about the plan's progress, kind of where we are, and the next step. And I think we have to share that with, you know, the team members of those different teams, you guys, the boards, and then the community at large. So, how, you know, exactly how to do that is still to be worked out, but I think that's important work to do to make sure people stay connected to the work that we're doing on the care plan. And then, as we've talked about, it's really understanding what the community, what the community of health is doing in terms of their community health assessment and making sure that we try to align with them when we do that. So that is the end of my amazing presentation to the evidence system.
Yes, so do we anticipate cooperating or making a partnership with any businesses that are involved in whatever aspect of community health, as in exercise or nutrition or that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think absolutely that would be an opportunity. And I think that's part of that map of community resources. Okay. I think businesses are a part of that. And, you know, I think they're, as long as they're kind of willing to play along with the plan, I think that's a great opportunity.
And then the other thing I was thinking in, but I think there's a reason why not, making a CHIP of 501c3, would that enable us to seek funding from maybe an entity like the MJ Murdoch Foundation? Pardon me?
Yeah, the Robert K. Wood Foundation.
Yeah, those sorts of places, and I don't know with the, you know, the tax reform and all, how does that work?
I hadn't thought of that, but I think that's an opportunity that would be good for us to explore. And I think there's probably a fair amount of work that would have to be done to figure that out, but yeah. I think it might be worth asking that question.
Well, one possibility along those lines would be to partner with an existing 501c3 for a specific grant, whether it's the YMCA or, you know, I mean, there are lots of nonprofits here that...
Well, the Community Foundation, probably.
And in terms of private businesses, maybe we could find someone who has some experience with the largest local private employer, like the mill.
Like Jefferson Mill.
I mean, in terms of exercise programs, in terms of things of that sort, I mean, that might be a, they might make a very eager partner for improving health and health care in the community.
Okay. It's interesting in looking through the goals, and I'm not sure what we call the underlying kind of actions, that housing does not show up there. When, you know, I wonder if we were to do the assessment today, if indeed it would. And I think, you know, we all know what a tough nut to crack housing has been for all of our organizations. And in terms of thinking about partnerships and talking points, I think that's something we'll probably want to give some thought to and get ahead of a little bit.
There was kind of an underlying statement in the overall health plan that there are a number of social determinants of health that are more kind of at the city, county, kind of the governmental level rather than the CHIP plan level. But, you know, I don't think there's a reason we can't try to tackle some of those issues. So. Certainly when we make revisions to the plan, I think it would be really good for us to start looking at some of those social determinants and seeing if there are things that the CHIP plan can contribute to.
Even including it, even though we may not be able to have full action on it, means in our grant applications and our partnerships that they see it's listed as one of our needs. So even though we may not be the ones to build the low-income housing, having the documentation that housing is one of the main factors for mental health, you know, stability. So I don't know if we've ever talked about, again, we can't amend this until we go through.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. I mean, housing is obviously a huge issue, but it's taken us a long time to get to these 4 points.
Yeah.
And if we keep going back and adding more things, I think that there's a danger in that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've tried to make clear to the groups, you know, as we've kind of been in that mode of getting back together and starting to do this work again, is that, you know, with all the activities that are already in the plan, we don't really want to focus on rewriting the plan at this point. What we want to try to do is implement the things that are in there, but we will be doing another community health assessment probably in the next couple of years. And I think that's the point where we revise the plan, and that's a really good opportunity to start looking at some of these other issues. And I think are incredibly important. And, you know, I would just share with you personally that, you know, my personal journey, I've learned a lot more about those things in the last couple of years, and they're really, really important. So that's a great suggestion.
I'm just going to add that I think as we go through the implementation process and capture a lot of the work that is going on, it will also capture some of the barriers. Because then I think we're going to hit some of those social determinants of health, which is, you know, if someone is homeless or is highly stressed because they are, they are stressed for housing, that has an impact on health. And so identifying that, okay, there, you know, we have some really great things going on, but there are some barriers to achieving health for all of our community. And I think we need to capture that information and look at that specifically as we go through the next health assessment so that we can, at some point tweak the community health improvement plan and those priorities and activities. So I think but always as we're going through this process, we have our eyes open to what's going well, what are we achieving, and what are we accomplishing, as well as here are some barriers that we've not addressed at this point and need some attention in order to take that health improvement to the next level. Mm-hmm. So I think your point is very, very well made, and there's room for both achieving what we've currently identified as priorities, taking the assessment and looking at progress, and then identifying some areas that we didn't work on that we know are very important, that we've learned since the first assessment, and housing is one of those. Housing is foundational to health. We
know that. So at some point, yes, as a community, we need to work on that. Ned, I'm just sort of curious, do you feel like, are you going to have an easy transition of duties to this role? Do you anticipate that to be sort of a challenge?
You and I worked together for a long time. I think you know that I've often been in situations where I have multiple priorities to work on, and I think that's one of the things I do pretty well. So I'm feeling pretty comfortable being able to do these priorities. Jim Morton, who's my leader, has done some things to shift my priorities to, you know, release some of my time to be able to do this. And I'd also share with you, of all the things I've done at Jefferson Healthcare, this is one thing that I have a real passion for and that's really important to me. So I'm really motivated to do this right. And part of that is the moral imperative of really wanting to make a difference in the health of the people in our community. I mean, it's outside of even doing a good job at work. A lot of it for me is I feel a real commitment to this community, and I want to make sure that if there are opportunities to improve the health of our community, we do that as much as we can. So I guess the short answer to your question is I'm pretty confident and comfortable that I'll be able to do that and do it well.
The other thing I was going to throw out there is the thought of beginning the cycle again, you know, the community health assessment cycle again, with how long and how challenging it's been for us to get this far. I just wanted to throw out there, it's up to you, I would say, to recommend when to really begin it again.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think you're right, we're very cutting edge in investing so much resource in really trying to actually do something with these plans. So since you're on the front lines, you know, when you think it's a good idea, let's do it. I've got a plan for the cycle from assessment. Maybe it'll a plan for it to go a little quicker this time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I also, I mean, I think that's, you guys are really advisory to that process, and I think that's a good discussion for us to have, you know, as we get closer to that time, is when is the opportune time to do that. And, you know, there's plenty of work, no matter how we do it, for us to do. So, you know, I'm not worried about that, but I do think, you know, being current and reacting to the data that we see, you know, if we make huge improvement on immunizations, maybe that drops off the list and something, you know, something else, maybe housing steps up. I don't know, but I think when we do start to get some health data back, I think it's important to restructure our priorities based on what we're actually moving the dial on. So.
And my expectation, or my understanding, is that you will use this next quarter to help to assess what's been done so that we have a really good indication
yeah.
of where we stand and yep. what we still need to
That's do. My, that and granting are my two highest priorities for the next 3 months. It's really getting a list of what's been accomplished, what's in progress, what's not, you know, what's, there's nothing happening on this. So you guys have an idea of that. And, you know, again, I think you're advisory to this work. So if there's something that's on the list of no progress made and you feel like it's something important for us to do, I mean, I think that's perfectly appropriate for you to make that suggestion at the point that I present that. And that's part of why I want to be able to present that data to you so that you have that opportunity to comment and add your thoughts about that.
Great.
And I think I should sit down and let public comment. And
are there any other questions from either board? Are you comfortable with taking questions from other members of the audience?
Sure.
Who might have any? Does anyone else have any questions? Do members of the public have any questions? Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, at this time then, we will move into public comment. And we welcome anyone here, if you're a member of the public, to make a comment. If you're not comfortable doing it or you don't want to do it in person, then there are other ways that you can certainly access us. We'll be happy to take your name and contact information if you would like. So at this time, is there any public comment? Yes, sir, would you please state your name again? Just so
my name is Jean Todd. Improvement in part has to do with being able to find the hospital. When you come into town, there are two major roads, Sims and Discovery, which blends into 19. There's one sign that indicates where the hospital is, and that's on the way down to Safeway on that side of the street with a good sign. DOT is not putting a sign going the other way, and as you approach Sheridan going the other way, going uphill, there's almost like a blind corner, not quite, but Sheridan all of a sudden is right in your face. There should be a sign there. That is a problem between the hospital and DOT, as I understand it, because DOT has to give permission to put signs on. Maybe they put the signs up. I don't know the details. But I think it behooves somebody on the board to call DOT and say, hey, we want another sign. Now, on the other side of the coin, coming from Discovery into 19, that's a city issue. And the hospital and the city should get together and provide two signs going either direction at Sheridan and 19th, because that would take care of the second major artery into town. There's no sign, there's not even one sign in that intersection. And a final sign that if DOT was in a good frame of mind, but not anywhere near as important as those first three that I mentioned would be assigned out by the ferry. At Shore the hospital, what direction you go for the hospital. Thank you.
Great, very good observations. Thank you very much. We can work together with the city and do something. Thank you. Is there any other comment? One once? Twice? Okay, thank you very much. With that, is there any other, are there any other comments from the boards? But at that point, we will conclude the meeting.
Motion to conclude?
Go ahead.
Second.
And case seconded, is there any discussion?
I think we might do this again.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, yes, actually, should we make a date for June before we go?
That might be a little difficult. Maybe we could say.
Quarter.
Second week in June. Look at the second week in June.
Sorry, are we shooting for quarterly?
Yes.
Quarterly, yeah.
I would feel better about quarterly just because I think it keeps things.
Okay.
So John will advise us some dates that we can.
Second week in June.
Meeting is concluded.